Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on Quick Slants, the podcast, the final pod before the draft. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? Can you smell it? Can you taste it? Can you hear it? You're going to do all of the above with the Senator Phil Perry, Gerard Mayo, and myself. Meanwhile, we'll also get into the return of Rob Gronkowski. He never really went anywhere, but now he officially isn't going anywhere, at least for the near future. Nor is Tom Brady, which Don Yee, perhaps not coincidentally, underscored this week as well. All that and more on
Quick Slants of Podcast.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, Tom.
How's it going?
Great, man. How are you?
Good. Great
draft week. Draft week. Very exciting.
Really big not week. Not looking around for anything and wondering what are we going to talk about this week. First things first, before we get to your voluminous draft coverage and go through some scenarios, and before we bring in Gerard Mayo to talk about Gronk, I want to just first allude to something that dropped on Tuesday evening where Rob Gronkowski spoke to The Uninterrupted and had this to say about his 2018 plans from the front of whatever mode of transportation he was sitting in.
What's up, Pats Nation? Last 2 months have been wild. There have been fake news left and right, no doubt about that. There's been some real news, but I would say way more fake news. But the last 2 months has been a grind, just seeing where I've been at. After the season, after a run like that, playoff run, all that type of stuff, Super Bowl run, you gotta just see where your body's at. You feel it playing the game. So the last 2 months, just taking time, working out, doing different type of treatments, just, and it's been feeling good. It's the best I ever felt right now. Feeling great. I've been working out hard, and I feel super, super pliable, and it's huge. It's a difference maker. But been grinding. I'm going to keep on grinding. I'm going to keep working hard, and I'm excited for the 2018 season. I'm ready for another championship run.
All right, let's not belabor the point too much. Clearly, what Gronk is continuing to stress, what Tom Brady has continued to stress, what so much of this is about, it's not simply the money, as Mike Lombardi alluded to. It's not simply having fun and being in a particular, you know, nurturing atmosphere. A lot of it ties back, as Gronk is indicating, I think, Phil, to strength and conditioning and the way that he's preparing his body. That, to me, continues to be the flashpoint. I want to prepare my body a certain way. Look at my pliability. Look at the way I've been doing things. Am I missing this? Am I overstating
it? No, I don't think so. I still come back to, though, for somebody like Julian Edelman, I think he's an interesting case when we talk about the conflict here between training styles. To me, that's somebody who I think has found a way to make both work. He's clearly a Guerrero guy in a lot of instances. He's obviously doing the pliability stuff. He goes DB12, et cetera, et cetera. But he's still showing up to Gillette Stadium to do his work too. So why can't Gronk do both?
I think part of it has to do with, look, you and I are fellow employees. We're friends. We would do things together. But if we have an issue where our boss is asking us to do something that, well, I'm happy to go to that workshop. I think that will really help me. Whereas you might say, I'm not going to that workshop. I don't want to do it. It doesn't have any pertinence to me. I'm not going there.
But what if everybody in the office except for Michael Holly is going to the workshop?
Then you have to say, well, maybe Michael Holly is playing by different rules and he's earned that opportunity to do that. That doesn't mean that you're off the hook. Would I hold it against you if I'm Gronk? Would I hold it against Michael Holly if he's not going to that? Would I hold that against, you know, does Julian Edelman because he takes part in the Moses Cabrera stuff and still goes to see Alex. When he goes up to see Alex, does Alex say, "Wow, you were cheating on me"? That, to me, it's not necessarily about who you're seeing. It's about the pretense and the subtweeting that you get from the staff or the strength coach if you do it. Now, Gronk, I think that Julian willingly will lift his weights. Mm-hmm. But Gronk, apparently, last summer, showed resistance to, "I'm not doing that anymore. It's not good for me. It's outside the program that I've been on." And ever since then, they have more and more peed on their territory of, "This is how we want to train." And not coincidentally, they had an unbelievable, Brady and Gronkowski both, 2017 season. One guy was the All-Pro, the other guy was the MVP. What else can you say?
I would say that Rob Gronkowski has had All-Pro seasons without doing that.
But
I don't think it's a coincidence.
He's looked better. He's never looked better.
I don't necessarily believe that. I think he had a great 2014. Really, really good. He had a tremendous Super Bowl that year. And that was before. I'm not saying it's not working for him. Clearly, whatever he's doing is working because he's great. Let's go back a couple of days because we haven't potted since that press conference that he had with the costume on and the helmet and the whole deal. And I went down on a Saturday afternoon and tried to talk to him about what he was planning on doing. And he was very resistant.
Listen to that sentence that we just had to utter.
I know.
He did a press conference with a costume on.
That's basically what it was.
In the midst of this season in which they have made so clear, and I'm really getting a lot of pushback to the point I've turned off notifications. "See, you were wrong. You were making something out of nothing. There was no problem at all."
I love those tweets. Yeah, keep those coming. Yep. Those are good.
Plenty of them.
But so that happened. Wouldn't commit to coming back for optional workouts. Days later, it's reported. Gronkowski announces first, "I met with coach. I'm back with the Patriots for 2018. Then it's reported immediately thereafter by Schefter, Adam Schefter, ESPN, that Gronkowski did meet with Belichick, and he brought his agent alongside. And you know what? This would probably be a good time. Let's bring in Mayo, because Mayo has some interesting comments in this regard, and then we'll come back and we'll get your take, Tom.
How about this? I'll tag out, and you and Gerard can hash it out.
Let's hash it out. All right. We now welcome in.
"Today on Quick Slants, the podcast.
We already did that, Gerard.
We don't have Tommy Curran, so I'm making up for it right
Tom
now.
Tom has stepped out. So Tom has stepped out. We have Gerard Mayo. And Gerard, we have to
Let's
ask you about...
Let's put a bow on this Gronkowski, Tom Brady drama. The TMZ is out of the books. Now it's really time to talk about the draft. What are the Patriots going to do? A quarterback, linebacker, defensive line? I don't know. But today, we're going to talk about that with the Senator, Phil Perry, minus Tom E. Curran, because he was late."
Did you get that out of your system?
I did.
Okay, good.
Okay.
We're good now? Okay. Did you see Rob Gronkowski's press conference over the weekend?
Nah, I missed it. Oh, the motocross.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw a little bit.
What were your thoughts?
Oh, you know, I didn't see enough to talk about it, though.
That's an interesting comment. From a former Patriot. Sounds like a guy who doesn't really want to comment on something that maybe he thought was a little sideways.
No, you go ahead. But, you know, the thing about it, you know, the report just came out that he had a conversation with Bill.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, talk about timing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's dive into that a little bit. So he has this press conference on Saturday. I was there. There are about a half dozen other normal, you know, Patriots beat reporters that were present among some other motocross.
Semi-normal.
Some motocross. Yeah, I shouldn't say normal, but yeah, like, regular attendees.
Non-normal?
Well, like regular attendees at the stadium for press conferences, players, coaches alike. That was an odd day. It was odd because he had an opportunity to kind of put some of the noise to bed. He had an opportunity to address why he wasn't
but he
doing
wanted to
workouts.
Put some he wanted to put some gas on it.
He did.
Yeah, a little
he
gas.
Really
I heard
did.
The little clips. I put a little,
right.
bit, of,
yeah.
little bit of gas.
Hey, Rob, are you planning on attending the other optional workouts that are upcoming?
Right.
And in my head, when I asked that, I'm saying because Gerard told us last week that, you know, if you're really not showing up to any of them, then that's kind of nuclear.
But now look.
But now, okay. So what do you think happened? Does Bill call him after that press conference and say, "Hey, I need you in my office"?
No,
or
I bet
what
Bill,
do you think
I, you know, and I'm just assuming here because I don't, you know, I talk to Bill, but we don't talk about this stuff. I'm just assuming that Bill was like, "All right, listen, we've been playing this game long enough. Like, what are you going to do? Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. What are you going to do? Now, with Gronk coming out saying that, it's not – I mean, there's still a possibility of him being moved.
You think so?
I think so.
Adam Schefter said no. Do you trust him?
I think it's always – I do trust Adam Schefter.
I do too.
But I always think it's on the – I think it's always out there. You know, there are no untradeable. There are no, like – you know, Joe Montana got traded when you think about that.
Yeah, it's so strange that Schefter continues to not continues to. He did it with Garoppolo, and now he's done it again with Gronkowski. X-player will not be traded. That seems unpatriotic.
Well, Garoppolo got traded.
He did get traded eventually. But Schefter's report was essentially Jimmy Garoppolo won't get traded before the start of the 2017 season, which was true. So,
and Schefter knows.
Schefter knows. So Gronkowski looks like he's not going to be traded. But do you think like this, everything that's happened the offseason, Gronk not showing up, Gronk having the weird press conference where he says he's not sure if he's going to play and he's not sure when he's going to decide if he's going to play, does that have any kind of lingering effect with Belichick, or is he able to just take all that, they have a conversation, then he lets it go?
Yeah, yeah. At this point, I think you have to let it go. I mean, you can't let a beef between two – I mean, the thing about football, it's a team sport, right? So it's like you can't let that beef kind of disseminate amongst the rest of the group, right? So I could definitely see Bill, because he's always talking about I'm going to do what's best for the team, just, hey, wash our hands with it, let's move on.
Squash it.
Squash it. And we've seen him. We've seen Bill squash things before.
That's true. He has had.
For sure.
Squabbles with other players.
Exactly. And
right?
It's been squashed. I mean, he's benched guys. Like, hey, you're not playing. I'm so mad at you.
No. He's benched guys?
For sure. Hmm. And then it's like.
I can't remember an instance when he's benched a guy where we've talked about it.
Well, I was benched as a rookie. But we didn't have a squabble.
You're thinking I'm being serious. I'm sort of referencing the Baller situation, which we spent.
Oh, you're talking about. I was talking about just
the last
in general. I'm
on.
Just talking about he's
benched
guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. And then yeah. you're able, like, to move past it. Eventually.
You move past it, and then this guy's a starter again.
What was it like for you when a teammate had like a pretty public contract dispute? Which is what this seems like. It is.
Yeah,
Logan Mankins is the one I can think of from your era.
Yeah, but Logan is this uber professional where Logan would just come to work each and every day. So it's like a, you know, this is a case-by-case basis. You can't really group contract disputes into one bucket. Logan handled it like a true professional, right? He never really talked about it. And when he did talk about it with guys, it was like a private conversation. And, you know, it was never, you know, no ill will towards Bill or the rest of the organization. He understood that it was a business. Some people kind of forget that it's a business as well, right? So you look at what's going on out in Seattle. When Pete Carroll just came out yesterday talking about – he had to kind of, like, snap back at Bennett and Sherman. But at the time when those guys were out there yipping and yapping away, everything was all good. So now all of a sudden their beef is spilling out onto the main stage. And now you have to talk about it.
You talk about Mankins being the uber professional. I think you were an uber professional.
Oh, thank you. And I drive Uber.
Do you?
No, I don't.
What's your rating?
4.8, something like that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 4.9.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I think I'm in the 4.8 range.
As a rider.
If somebody, no, as a passenger, as a writer,
as
I'm definitely 4.9.
Rider.
Oh.
Rider.
Oh, I thought you were saying writer.
Oh, come on.
Writer.
Come on. Don't be cocky.
As a
writer,
WRITER,
you're like a three-star.
As a professional's professional,
yeah.
How would you take it if one of the best players on your team didn't show up to workouts and then publicly kind of flaunted the fact that he wasn't showing up to workouts?
Yeah, you know, you have to treat it as an injury, per se, right? You treat it, honestly.
But it's not.
Yeah, but that's how you treat it. Like any type of contract holdout, any type of, you know, guy just not showing up, we would treat it as an injury. And it's like the next man up mentality. As corny and cliche as that sounds, next man up.
But you wouldn't be at all miffed at a guy for saying.
No, because when he decides
to
come
back.
Why
would I show up to workouts? I don't need to be at workouts.
Not at all.
Because while you're there busting your butt.
When he decides to come back, we'll take it from there. Like it doesn't, because the camaraderie, most of the time people holding out, you've gone to battle with these guys multiple times. So it's like you have this respect as this, you know, for this person as, you know, both the person, you understand the family dynamic, which kind of gets lost in this entire thing, right? there's a small window. There's a very small window to maximize your earning potential. So you're really not. And at the same time, you're like, you know what? I can only control myself. You only can control what you can control, right? So it's like, all right.
That's true.
Handle your business.
And that's a very Patriots way to handle it. But that to me seems like a sign of disrespect to your teammates.
Not at all.
You don't think so?
Not at all. That's not how players look at it.
He chooses to show up to this promotional thing. We're just going to goof around in costume.
And if Gronk comes back to work.
Work shows up the next day.
Shows up to work and everyone's like, hey, Gronk.
And there's no issue.
No issue amongst the players.
Okay. That's interesting.
And that
that's interesting
is
from
fact,
my perspective.
Full stop.
Well, but because for guys like you and guys like Matthew Slater, and when we talk to guys, you know, during this portion of the season, April, May, optional workouts, all we hear is this time's important. This is where you build. This is where you set the foundation, and then your best player's not
but
here.
But this is where you the foundation really doesn't include your top tier players. The foundation of a team is the middle class that we talked about last week, right? And the middle class, they aren't holding out. The middle class, like, if Tom doesn't show up, it's like, all right, we probably would get better as a team without Tom, if that makes sense, right? During OTAs and things like that. As a team, people have to step up, people have to, you know, because the scheme is the same, right? And during, you still have training camp to really lock things in with Brady, but the overall team, I would argue, you know, because now all of a sudden there's like a a drop off at a certain position at an important position. It's kind of like when I got hurt, right?
Right.
All right. The communication was so dependent on me for so long. When I got hurt, there was like a dip initially. But over the course of the season, you could see the communication get better, 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 better. So just take that time, even though that was during the season, and kind of move it forward, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. Everybody else has to step up their individual responsibilities, they have to step up their
game.
You lean on
guys like Gronk, right? Tom leans on a guy like he would sometimes quarterbacks, their reads would get all Matthew Stafford, I would argue, became a better quarterback when Megatron retired. Because he would lean on a guy like Megatron. He would just throw it up. Like, forget the reads.
Yeah.
Forget the reads. I'm just going to throw it up.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're saying that's happening now in the preseason.
So now Stafford's back to my initial. I have a middle of the field safety. My reads here to here to there because they don't have that dominant receiver.
And then he comes back and there's no hard feelings and it's almost like, okay, now we're back at.
There are no hard feelings
100%.
Amongst the players. Now the coaches, I can't speak to. The coordinator, I can't speak to.
I would imagine
the
there are some hard. I just can't imagine the coaching staff being okay with that kind of display. And I wonder if that directly led to that conversation with Rob Gronkowski and his agent, according to Schefter. We still haven't heard anything about a pay raise.
He brought
Maybe
his
that's
agent
coming
with him,
down
brought
the
his
line.
Agent with him. It's like, hey, it's my lawyer.
Sounds like it.
It's my
Sounds
lawyer.
That way. But, again, we haven't heard anything about a raise.
I can't
so.
See that happen. I can't see an agent. And maybe it's just out of my just whole realm of thinking, which probably I need to, I need to be more malleable here, right?
Okay,
It's like I can't see myself as a grown man and as just –
Bringing your
with my relationship with Bill,
bringing
like,
your handler.
I'm gonna bring my mom. I'm not going to jail here. Going to jail.
Right.
It's like,
why can't you just sit down? That to me is why it indicates it was a contract related discussion, and the fact that again we haven't heard about a raise indicates to me that Bill basically said, we're not doing anything, so you can show up to work and play, and get your bonus if it's still on the table. For working out, or I'll see you in minicamp.
Yeah.
But why else would you bring your agent? Gronk's known Bill Belichick for 10 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So
it's like, is the relationship.
It sounds like that might have been
Has the relationship frayed to this?
To that point?
I mean, has it just like dwindled to this where I have to speak through a translator? Like whisper, I'm going to whisper in my agent's ear, you talk to him.
I mean, listen.
Bill is
we know
intimidating,
he's coming
but at the
back
same
now.
Time, it's like, all right, Bill.
We know he's coming back now, but, you know, people like Tom Carr, people like Schefter, when they report about
they
the
report
friction
that
that's going on, it's not made up, even though Gronk tweeted, hey, I'm coming back, everybody, and he's flexing his muscles, and everybody thinks everything's okay. So we'll see how it plays out. We will continue to talk to you about it, Gerard. Thanks for popping in. This is a nice little vignette.
I gave you a little sliver.
Of the podcast.
Little
yeah, a little sliver.
Sliver.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, we got to do TV now, though, so we'll talk to you
Peace
later.
Peace out.
Okay, and we're back. I thought those were some interesting comments from Mayo. A, saying that teammates don't really care. If it's a contract holdout, even if you do it and you're kind of rubbing everybody's face in it, that's not a huge deal for the teammates. Coaches, different story. But as a teammate, Mayo wouldn't have a huge, huge issue with that. He also, Tom, I thought was pretty funny talking about just like the relationship there. Mayo basically saying, if you have to bring your agent in for a conversation like that with Belichick, what is your relationship like? Like, he couldn't picture himself doing it because his relationship with Belichick is so good. He could just walk right into his office, they could talk man to man, and they could hash out whatever differences they may have. To me, that speaks to, I thought it was good insight from Gerard, because it speaks to the fact that maybe the relationship isn't perfect.
It also hints to me at, look, I'm not going to try and make it sound like Rob isn't smart enough to take care of his own business. But I think that he gets tongue-tied. He gets nervous. He gets caught up. I remember after the B.B. Jones stuff, he was at his locker. He could barely spit out syllables. And I think that he, if Bill Belichick was sitting across the table from him, Bill would have absolutely 0.4 seconds before he burrowed into the front of Gronk's brain and had him committing to running up and down Route 1 with an "I'm sorry, Bill" placard on.
What do you make of the fact that Drew Rosenhaus was there?
Trade talk.
And we haven't – you do? You don't think it's a contract talk?
I think it's both, but I think that in – with Schefter tweeting he will not be traded in 2018, there will be no trade. Well, he must have gotten an assurance from one of the people in the room. So – either Belichick gave the assurance or Rosenhaus did. And if Belichick gave it to Rosenhaus, then it's not going to happen. Because, you know, Belichick's not his word is his bond.
Do you think there were contract discussions, and what do you make of the fact that we haven't heard about any kind of raise for Rob Gronkowski? Like, to me, and I said this to Gerard, feels like, why else would you bring your agent in there? Maybe they wanted to talk contract. And because we haven't heard of anything, doesn't mean there's nothing in the works, but couldn't you see it like, hey, we got to figure out this contract, and Bill saying, yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah, I think that Bill, if it were me, I'd say, you know what, before we start talking about extending you, can we cut the shit with the standing up there at the press conferences? Can we cut the shit with, you know, grinding our coaches' faces in it? Can we cut it out with making a mockery of the work that other guys are putting it in? Then we'll talk about some of the business stuff. Okay, Rob, 2-time captain, you've been here for 8 years. Enough's enough. I don't know that Bill Belichick at 66, especially in light of the comments that he made a couple of years ago that Urban Meyer parroted, I only want to coach the guys I want to coach, was probably real keen on saying, Rob, what's bugging you? What's something eating you here? No, I think I said, you know what?
Let's unpack your feelings, Rob. Take them out, put them in a little box, set them on the chair next to you. Let's talk about those.
So I think that any contract conversations will come after we've decided that, you know, we've stopped stomping around upstairs in the bedroom to see what Dad was going to do.
Okay, so now if they're not trading Rob Gronkowski, that to me would signal that they're probably not going to be investing in a tight end in the first or second round, although you never know.
Have to.
First or second round, you think so?
Yeah, for Dallas.
I mean, I like Dallas Goedert, but I think
Hayden?
I should say this.
Mark?
I don't think anything that Mark Andrews. Wow, you're really rattling off the names. Good
job. Because I did the tight ends and the linebackers.
Oh, you did.
For the Patriots.
Yes, Patriots needs pre-free agency, correct.
Mike Gesicki?
Okay, so they may take a tight end. They may take a tight end, Tom. First round, second round, who knows? What would you expect the Patriots to do with the two first round picks they have, the two second round picks they have? Are they moving up? Are they standing pat? What do you think?
Everything is reactive to this team. I think they'll be ready to move up if someone drops, if the right team drops, and if the right team in front of them is willing to play ball. That'll be interesting, is who are the teams that are on the clock? What are the needs? And this is where this draft is going to be so important for them to have handicapped and mocked it up in a particular way. You know, the teams immediately preceding them, what are their needs? Who behind them might leapfrog them? Can they sit there and wait for that offensive tackle? or is somebody with an offensive tackle need going to be able to jump over him? So I think this is a huge draft in terms of strategy for Nick Caserio and Bill Belichick. Agreed?
Yes, and I think it makes it really interesting for us to follow. It has to make it really difficult for them to try to execute because, like you said, there are a lot of other teams out there that also have plenty of ammo to use in terms of picks. The Buffalo Bills, division opponent, they have number 12 and number 22. They have a second-round pick as well. They could move up. Are they going to go all the way up into the top 10 to get a quarterback? Are they just going to inch up a couple of spots if somebody like, say, Josh Rosen starts to fall? I would love to see the Patriots still come away somehow with two first-round picks. I don't know how they do it because I just think there are enough immediate needs on this team that they need to get those figured out, whether it's linebacker and tackle, whether it's quarterback and tackle. There's just there's enough holes there that they have to figure those out.
But here's the interesting aspect of that. If you're at 21 and you want to get up to 17 and you have to send the 31st pick to do that, which, excuse me, 23 and you want to get up a few – and you have to send 31 to do that.
23 and 31 would get you maybe into the top 10.
Right, but I'm just saying, okay, you want to send them your 23rd and a fourth
43
round pick to get
whatever.
To 17.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. If, as we have been told by many experts, that a second rounder is the same as a third rounder in this draft, is the same as a late first rounder, you can throw a blanket over all those guys.
Yeah.
Then it's not that big a deal, unless you're going up for a specific player, i.e. the way they went up for Ty Warren in 2003. It was like a one-step-up or two-step-up move by them to trade with the Bears, I think, at that time. So I think that's a more likely move from this team.
An inching up.
An inching
not
as opposed
jump
to
up.
A leap.
Okay.
And I could see that. And that's what they did with Jones and Hightower back the last time they
yeah.
had two first-round picks.
Yeah,
just,
and I –
just
I,
a little jump up. That's our guy. Let's move now.
Right. I agree with you. And we just taped Quick Slants, the television program. And that's what I said. I think if somebody like Mike McGlinchey starts to fall into the teens, I could see a move like that going from 23 up to 16, 17. And you'd have to – here's the other thing. You have to find a trade partner. And I feel like with every year that passes and every year the Patriots make the Super Bowl – passes, it gets harder and harder for them sometimes to find trade partners. And there's a reason why they continue to come back to the same teams, whether it's Indy with Ballard or, you know, the Browns have a new GM now. But you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like there are teams in the league that just say, no, we're not dealing with the Patriots. Sorry, you're going to have to figure it out.
Right.
So that's an issue for them, too. If they do move up for a quarterback, who do you like? Got any names?
Mayfield.
Okay.
Rosen.
Swaggerlicious. Baker Mayfield equals swagger.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Personality.
I would
love it. Be fun.
I like him.
It would be fun. He's really accurate. They love a good accurate quarterback. He's a little short. So he's I put together the prototypical Patriot series. You guys should check that out if you haven't already, NBCSportsBoston.com.
I still think that the Patriots can skip on that, draft Laletta, and have Johnny Manziel come in later in the process.
You like the idea of bringing Manziel in.
I think it's going to happen.
Is that beepity beep 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 beep
beep beep beep beep
beep beep beep beep news? They're going to bring in Manziel?
Rumbles are, Phil.
Rumblings, according
rumbles
to Tommy
are, rumbles are that not just that picture that showed him in Patriots gear recently, but if the big man signs off on it, you'll see Manziel at some point.
Who's the big man?
The white-collared fiend. Meek Mill's buddy. Mr. Radical Chic himself.
Meek Mill's buddy. Okay, if the big man signs off on it, so now you've got Brian Hoyer, Tom Brady, Johnny Manziel, and maybe a second round. Kyle Laletta with all those L's.
He is a nightmare name for me.
It really is.
Folks, do you understand that it's actually a Pennsylvanian, I've done research on this, where you say your L's at the back of your throat. We've talked about this before, but...
How did you end up with a Pennsylvanian accent?
My mother spent a large portion of her upbringing in Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that.
Wilkes-Barre.
Man, and, that's a tough name for somebody who lives in Wilkes-Barre, because if all those people are swallowing their L's and they have to say where they're from...
Do you know when my parents moved to from Pembroke, when they moved from Pembroke when I was at St. Anselm College? Sandwich.
Sandwich.
Do you know what street they moved to?
Oh,
Mary
Lollipop.
Mary Leal Lane.
marry Lil Lane?
Yep. Do you know what
that is just a cruel joke.
Do you know
a
my
cruel,
good,
cruel joke.
Do you know my good friend Mick Flynn decided to call his daughter?
Lolita?
Lily. Lily.
Well, listen, Tom. This is adversity that you're going to have to face and overcome in your life.
I don't want to see Kyle Laletta get...
Laletta.
So I have to talk like Joe Namath to get it out right. Kyle Laletta.
So
here's one of the reasons
I have waffled on Kyle Laletta many times over the course of this draft process.
Let me see you
Most
say it.
Recently...
Where does your tongue go when you say
Kyle it? Kyle Laletta.
You do it. You're right behind your teeth. Laletta. Laletta.
The reason I'm higher on him now than I was, say, a week ago was actually because of a conversation I had with another quarterback in this class, Chad Kanoff from Princeton, somebody the Patriots have done their homework on.
Hey, knock it, Kanoff! Sorry.
Got it. Sixth, seventh round, maybe undrafted guy, Chad Kanoff is. Great year last year for Princeton. Broke all Jason Garrett's records. But one of the interesting things he told me was at Princeton, under coach Bob Cerace, who was Matt Patricia's offensive line coach at RPI, small world this football sport is, he said they charted all of the Patriots' passing plays from either 2015 or 2016. I can't remember what year he said now. But that was, offensively, that was part of their job one offseason, charting all the offensive plays. And the thing that stood out to Kanoff about Tom Brady wasn't accuracy down the field, it wasn't pre-snap checks, it wasn't even intermediate execution. It was the fact that every time that Brady had a short throw, either behind the line of scrimmage, at the line of scrimmage, or slightly ahead, he hit just about every single throw the entire year. And that really stood out to me because that is a throw, those kinds of throws are throws that maybe you and I, Tom, would look at and we say, whatever, like you're supposed to hit that throw. If you're a professional quarterback, you should hit that throw. But not everybody does, and not everybody hits it with the consistency that Tom Brady does. And so to bring it back around to Kyle Laletta, other than Baker Mayfield, is the most accurate quarterback in the short to intermediate range. He makes all the throws he should make. He's not great down the field. The ball comes out of his hand a little funny sometimes. The throwing motion, Tom, you're going to have a field day with that because I know you are a big stickler for throwing mechanics, and Kyle Laletta's throwing mechanics look a little funky
He's
to me.
He's a little bit of a pusher.
But he gets it to where it's supposed to be short.
Not Phillip Rivers' pusher, but.
And I think if the Patriots value that in Brady's game, and it seems like they do, they would value that in Laletta's game as well. He's also pretty quick. He's a good athlete. He's built like Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit. Probably not the arm that Garoppolo had, and probably not the deep ball that Garoppolo had, but he checks a lot of other boxes. So I'm still high on Kyle Laletta. If he's there at the bottom of the second round, I think they should do it.
All right, well. I know the draft is, by the time you folks are listening to this, it's going to be later tonight. So we're going to have a ton of content for you. So not just listening to this for all your Gronk information, takes, and some late draft conversation, but I want you to catch us on Periscope later today and this evening and throughout the first round tonight and then again Friday and Saturday as the draft continues.
Phil? We're going to have a good setup on Periscope because anytime anything happens, Patriots-related, AFC East-related, if it's just something that piques my interest, Tom's interest, Mike Giardi's interest, we're going to pop on camera on Periscope. You guys are going to be able to watch us on Twitter while you're watching the Celtics game. It's going to be a good setup for us. So Thanks for checking in. Continue to follow us, Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, comment, rating. Tell us who you think in the comments the Patriots should take in the first round, and we'll talk to you next time.